We're back here to the Neil Haley Show, and anytime I see a cause like this, I want to kind of get it out there everywhere to my audience. Again, my national syndicated show, so I'm excited to welcome the program. Renee Baker, we're going to talk about Broadway carolers. Renee, thanks for stopping by. How are you?
Oh, it's great to be with you. I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's always great. Again, I believe it's February. Just time flies. Let's get to spring so quickly. And the first month of 2022 is out the window. And hopefully we start seeing things. So my experience talking about Broadway is I've interviewed Broadway stars that have figured out other ways during the pandemic to do their craft. And I've had some really interesting people on the show regarding that. Facts. So I think it's a challenge. And so I want to find out how you came up with the name Broadway Carolers, but it's a challenge for Broadway for the last couple of years to really be able to do things because of COVID, right?
Absolutely. Broadway is suffering. And my carolers, where there's about 25 to 30 of us every year, they're all Broadway trained people that at different levels. Some of them I've been on Broadway multiple times, and everything just hobbled us at the knees when COVID hit us, you know, and we all thought that it would open back up when it came to be that first Christmas caroling season of 2020. And of course, it was very, very different. And we were doing what I called, I'll be Zoom for Christmas and Zoom golly golly for the Hanukkah celebrators. And so we did Zoom. We really did, where we could interact, but we had to have four of us in a bubble in the room with them. And, you know, we were all trying to find different things to do. And a lot of people had to take survival jobs like we did when we first got to New York City, you know, not so much waitressing, but things that you can do remotely and safely, you know.
So, and that's tough once COVID hit. So you're a performer, explain what your life was COVID. And I know now still COVID, especially in New York now. So it's not ended. In some parts of the country it has, even though there's tons of cases, but New York, again, you're back restricted in certain ways and stuff like that. How's your life? How did you kind of figure out things out when it happened?
Right. Well, I hadn't been actually auditioning and being in shows for a long time. I was doing more. I coach people. I especially specialize in coaching kids. Okay. So I was coaching people for their auditions that landed them in Broadway and television and film and voiceovers and things like that. And so I could do that remotely. I was doing that remotely even before the pandemic. But once COVID knocked everything out, there was nothing to audition for. And so I just thought, well, this is a good time to start working on just the deeper acting skills. And so I promoted that, but I had to basically just cut my prices in half and try to people just take advantage of that, which, you know, I did have some people who were able to do that, but there were other people suffering too, and they didn't have the money to even do that. And so actually one of the things that I started doing, because I had all these carolers, you know, I mean, yeah. Like I said, every year there's about 25 to 30 of us. They're all poor starving actors for the most part, even if they've been on Broadway, you know, there's nothing secure about this.
No, never, so never in the entertainment business, anything secure. Yeah.
Right. That's the one thing you can count on. But so I started just having something that I called in the Zoom where it happens. And I know now that's used in other places, but at the time people thought I was so clever. Anyway, so I would just invite people, you know, like you. If I'd known you, I would have invited you. Just interesting people in the industry that could just kind of shine a light on something that they did. We had, you know, agents and managers and filmmakers and people like that. So each one of the carolers and I also had other ones for my coaching students, when they could ask a question of this interesting person and then get in front of them, but also hear something really interesting. So we did that for a little while, you know, through the worst of it. And that really was a neat thing to kind of get us through that. But, you know, I was looking into, all sorts of survival jobs. I looked at Amazon. Cause you just go into this freak out, like, oh my gosh, what do I do? What can I do? And, you know, I had been driving Lyft for 5 weeks before.
Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, I love to drive and I love people.
I could tell. So, okay. So you were doing it more of, hey, I can make some extra money and I also can network, and who knows, you're going to meet in a Lyft drive.
Well, you know, it's funny that you say that, because I've met some really interesting people, but, you know, I'll tell you, I just thought, because my work is really uneven. You've got Christmas and you've got people's auditions. And, you know, I write human interest articles for a newsletter, but it's all very uneven. And like you say, you know, nothing's guaranteed. And so my daughter, very, very cool, upcoming singer, songwriter, and even director, her name is Rosie, R-O-Z-I-E Baker. And I drove her out to Los Angeles from New Jersey.
Oh my.
Okay. And so, but she had this, have you heard of So Far Sounds concerts? She had arranged a concert tour just sort of up and down and all the way west. And so it took us about 2 weeks to get out there via her concert tour. And then I just thought, I got to get home and start working, you know? So this was January of 2020.
Oh my.
Yeah. Right. So I drove back in 3 days. So my last day, I woke up in Missouri at 5 a.m. There was a big snowstorm coming. I drove 16 hours and went to bed that night in New Jersey in my own bedroom. And I thought, you know what? I really am a good driver. I really love people. So I should just look into this. So I started Lyft driving, and long story short, on my last day of Lyft driving, I drove this fantastic doctor, an emergency room doctor. And I was like, oh my gosh, first of all, thank you for your service on the front lines of this, because this was March 26th.
Oh my.
And it was early in the morning. I picked him up. He taught me so many things about COVID and things that I thought this could save my life. And in fact, a few days later, I do believe it saved my life. But and so I actually turned off my Lyft app after dropping him off 35 minutes later and just spoke into my mic, into my phone. So I didn't want to forget anything that he told me.
No.
The next day I started to have symptoms. So I took myself off the road and I got very sick. I mean, I was living by myself. I didn't have to go to the hospital or anything, but some of the things that I learned from him actually saved my life. So the first day that I felt I could go out for a walk, which was like 2.5 weeks later, was Easter Sunday. I went out to my mailbox because he had told me about a book that he'd written. And so I had ordered it that very day, and there it was in my mailbox. And I thought, you know, we had such a great talk. I think I'm just going to look him up on Facebook. We're going to be friends. I looked him up on Facebook. He had already died. He was America's first ER doctor to die of COVID-19. And I drove him home from his last hospital shift. And I found out, this is how I found out. And I just couldn't believe it. And all the things that he told me, and he knew I was doing radio segments. And I had asked him what I had permission to tell people, you know, and he said, you can say all of it. So I started trying to get his message out there for a little while, but that was just amazing. Neither of us knew that I was driving him home from his last hospital shift. Yeah.
Wow. So that's a story. So surviving the pandemic, you've told me some things, but that's a great story. Yeah. Renee is definitely a storyteller, and that's part of acting. And that's what, and teaching people in acting, how you have it's like you're on an audition, which you're not, Renee, you're on my show, but let's jump to, you know, Broadway Killers. So they were around before the pandemic then, correct?
They were around. Yes. Yes. Okay. They were auditioning. They were doing, maybe they had their survival jobs, their waitering jobs or whatever. But they were auditioning. Some of them were in shows. Some of them were on tours. And then everything just started to shut down. And so, like I said, we did this in the Zoom Where It Happens thing. And then it got to be, we thought Christmas was going to happen. You know, we thought that there would be caroling jobs. Everything would be back to normal by then. Of course, we know now that it wasn't. And so a lot of them went home. You know, I have carolers who live in Hawaii and Seattle and Michigan and Maine, and a lot of them went home, and I only had about 8 of us out of the 30 or so. And we decided, well, we kind of have to be in these little bubbles that we trust. We're going to be super careful, and we can do these in person, you know, the 4 of us together doing the Zooms. We had just a couple of live caroling events that year, but I didn't bring anybody else. Of course, I wasn't auditioning anybody. And we thought it was going to get a lot better the next year.
Right.
Some people didn't. A lot of people did not come back still. They're still out there waiting, waiting. But then some of them did. A lot of them started getting work, right? They're back out on tour. They're on Broadway again. And people are getting vaccinated, you know? And so people are telling me, you know, Christmas is going to be huge this year. People are so pent up that they didn't get to celebrate Christmas with their people last year. So actually I didn't have auditions because I still thought, I don't know. And I feel very beholden to get these people work after they've done the rehearsal, you know, and put that time aside. So then all of a sudden we had our rehearsals. And then all of a sudden, all the work just started to come in. I had to turn down some jobs. I had to get another soprano. And then so we were caroling. And it was great. It was amazing to be able to sing with people again. And we had masks on when we were inside. A lot of caroling was outside. And then people started to say, you know what? I was just told I was exposed to somebody with COVID. And so this is getting really late in the season.
Oh, goodness.
And, you know, and I've got a skeleton staff at that point because some of them have already gone home for Christmas or wherever. And so it was really, really hard. The hardest part of my job this past December was actually replacing people. And then, but we had to do the right thing. We had to do what we wanted. We would have wanted the people around us to do to be safe for everybody. And then toward the very end, close to Christmas, that's when the gig started to get canceled because the cook or the staff at the club had gotten COVID. You know, so one of the last ones I went to, I was an hour on my way up to Connecticut when I got the call.
Oh, my goodness. So is this a year-round thing or only during Christmas?
Well, the Christmas is usually just during Christmas, although I do, especially remotely now, I'll do like somebody's book club or their Christmas in July where I talk. I'm a carol historian as well, so okay. I'll talk about these fascinating histories of carols. I'll sing it with them and liken it to stuff that's going on today. what we've been doing lately is we've been getting called to do things that are not Christmas at different times of year, like the Welcome Back to Madison Avenue, because people were afraid to go shopping. So people want to have something that draws them back out into the shopping areas. And so a lot of times when people are traveling to New York, that's where we're based, is New York City. They're interested in Broadway and they're interested in New York themed things. So that's what we sing about in four part harmony.
Oh, wow. So that's really interesting information. So during the year, you said this is a year round thing, Christmas, yes. Broadway carolers. So are you basically preparing for the next year or is it raising money? What are you doing throughout the rest of the time?
I should be raising money. That's what I should be doing. We actually just in the past few months created the Wenceslas Fund, which is on the website, broadwaycarolers.com. It's because there are places that we'd really like to go that do not have a budget. And as I said, you know, performers, these Broadway quality performers are mostly, you know, on very shoestring budgets. And if they have to choose between singing for free at a nursing home or doing their waiter job or whatever their survival job, they're going to have to take the survival job, but they really want to be able to sing for these people that just, they don't have the budget, but they have the need and they have the desire for the spirit. So, you know, Good King Wenceslas, you know who that was? And he went out on the 26th of every December, Boxing Day, yes. Right? Feast of St. Stephen, and he would go out and bring food and firewood and blankets and wine to the poorest in his constituency out there, even in the worst of the weather. It's actually a true story. That's my favorite Christmas carol, Good King Wenceslas, where they tried to tell him one day, come on, it's the weather's too bad. Let's just do it tomorrow. He said, nope, come on, let's go. And they went. And they would do that and enrich the lives of these people. And that's really what we've wanted to do too. But Boxing Day also, a lot of people will know that's the day that you give the tips to the doormen, to the servants, you know, things like that. Yeah. And so that is the charity to which people can actually donate so that we can actually, it'll help defray the cost of getting carolers into these nursing homes and places where
that's great.
Yeah.
So great mission. So it keeps you busy. So you're already looking at your ways of raising money. You're always looking at your gigs for the next year. So you have to book them up fast, right? Your goal. How many gigs do you do a year? If you would look at that, you know.
Well, you know, most of it, of course, does happen. The Christmas ones do happen during the holidays, and they'll start usually early November. Because that's when the shopping centers want to get people to start thinking about shopping. And so they'll have the tree lightings and the openings, the star lightings, and they'll have the carolers out there. And then we'll often carol right up through New Year's Day, sometimes a little beyond that. it's really hard to say how many jobs. I mean, last year there were a lot more than I thought. The year before that, there was only, you know, about a dozen. But sometimes in usual years, I might have five groups out at one time. Mm-hmm. And that might happen several times throughout just the month of December. So I can't really give you a number about how many gigs. I mean, during the rest of the year, it's not that many, honestly. You know, there's...
But it's the process of booking, right? Because that's 6 months. So really there's only like a down season of 3 months, if anything. And then you're in the process always of auditioning and all those things. So it's a constant go.
Auditioning, the rehearsing. Right now it's like collecting the costumes and getting them to the dry cleaners and seeing, do I need to spruce them up? You know, do I need to replace the sparkly buttons?
It's a definitely thing. So definitely people need to know where they can raise money. Where you can help the cause. And yes, also if they want to book it. So you're going all over the Northeast, it sounds like, for this, right?
Right. We're in Connecticut, we're in New Jersey, we're in New York, New York State, and also now in the Philadelphia area.
Oh, fantastic. So where is the best place people can find information on you and learn more about you?
BroadwayCarolers.com is the best place. And there's only one L in Carolers. You can spell it with two. That wouldn't be wrong, but it's more correct with one. And that's what we went with, BroadwayCarolers.com.
Yeah. Awesome. And your website?
And my website is ReneeBaker.com. That's R-E-N-A-E Baker.com. And then you can find out more than you ever wanted to know about Renee Baker.
All right. Fantastic. And last question for you regarding, I guess, this, what projects do you have going on that people can follow you and check out what you're doing? What else is going on?
Right. Well, you know, I'm actually writing a one woman show that's got a very clever idea, and hopefully I'll have that done sometime this year. But I've been dreaming it up for a long time, and it's called A Christmas Carol-er. And so that you can't really look that up just yet, but that's a little teaser. It's going to be a really neat one woman show, and it is about a woman who runs a caroling group.
Fantastic. So you got things going. So people check you out. Anything else? You're an author as well, right? Your books.
Yeah. Oh, right. Right. I wrote a book called Defeating Scrooge. Oh, thank you for reminding me who I am. Defeating Scrooge is really because some people think I've got the corner on the market.
Right.
Christmas spirit, you know, but there was one year that it was just gone and it was really painful. It turned out. And the way I pulled myself out of that actually was to start studying a carol a week. In depth, in ways I never had before. And it was absolutely fascinating. And I got my spirit back. And it was just so helpful that I thought, I got to let other people know about this. So I wrote about it. And so there's the Defeating Scrooge. And then there's also the audio book. And there's the workbook and workshops and things like that, all around Defeating Scrooge and Christmas spirit.
All right. Well, we appreciate you coming on. I really enjoyed that. This is a great time. And I think that one of the ideas I'll offer is Christmas in July. You could get a lot more gigs in July. So think about it. Not just the remote. Yeah. You never know. So because Christmas lives in year long, and who knows, once this pandemic finally lifts and everyone's tired of COVID, then it'll be time for a big, really even growth even further for what you're doing. And people definitely need to raise money as well for this tremendous cause for people who can't afford it. Because again, there's so many people that need this Christmas cheer. So we appreciate you coming by.
Thank you so much, Neil. I really appreciate being here with you. Thanks a lot.
All right. You're listening and watching The Neil Haley Show. We'll be back in just a moment.